Welcome in, Lineup Logic fans. We got a special treat for you here. It's another edition of the Fantasy Fast Break. Tonight, joining me, your guy, your host, you've gotten to know, Spartanzilla. I've got Jeremy, a.k.a. Take No Days Off. Jeremy, what's up, man? What's going on with you?
What's going on, Quafo?
Yeah, this is good. I'm good. I'm happy we're getting another NBA pod for people. People are itching to have this kind of content out there, so we're trying to give the people what they want.
Yeah, man, and we got a nice little Friday slate. I love Friday sleeps.
It's good. Yeah, you get into the weekend, you get started, you know, you start getting rolling, feeling good about things, get this lineup in, and then maybe go out and have a bite to eat, and you know, kind of check your roster. So it's a real good way to get the weekend started. So hopefully we provide some advice here for people to go ahead and get the weekend started off with some nice cash in their pockets.
Yeah, for sure. We got to make some more money so that we can play heavier on football on Sunday.
Exactly. You got to build up for the NFL slates.
Yeah. Speaking of that, though, you guys already know that we have the live stream on Friday nights as well. So right after you lock in your lineup, stay tuned in the Slack chat because we'll drop the link for the live stream for NFL Sunday. And we'll be able to now get NFL week rolling as well.
Exactly. And to access that Slack that Jeremy's talking about, $10 a month. We talk about it on all of our shows, all of our platforms, patreon.com/lineuplogic. Join, $10 a month. It's going to get you access to things like, you know, the live stream, I think, is available for all, but the Slack chat, which is an invaluable resource to talk to the community, talk to folks like Jeremy and myself. We're in there pretty much on a daily basis, answering questions, talking to you, talking to our users, and trying to get them to build better lineups. I mean, the whole premise of the site and of the Lineup Logic community is to build better lineups, you know, through learning and through some practice and through the community. So let's do that. Again, $10 a month, probably the best deal you're going to find in the industry for a whole lot of content, a whole lot of fun, and some really good people. So I implore you, like I do on the NFL pod, go ahead and join. You will like what you see. So with that, let's get started with the game-by-game breakdown. And then like we did on last Thursday's episode, at the end of the game-by-game rundown, we'll do a mock lineup between Jeremy and myself. We'll kind of run through and kind of build a lineup here for you to kind of get you thinking about Friday's slate. Sound good?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, we'll start with the Washington Wizards, the really atrocious Wizards, taking on the Orlando Magic. The over-under in this game is 218.5. The Wizards are 2.5-point favorites in this game. I don't know what's going on there. Jeremy, when I look at this game, does anything stand out to you? I've got a couple Wizards guys. Who stands out to you on the Wizards side of the ball?
Well, first off, I remember we had this a similar conversation last week where Washington was at home and they were 2.5-point favorites versus the Thunder. And we were just like, wait, what? How? Right. That doesn't make sense.
Smell fishy. Smelled fishy.
Yeah. And they went out there and just got like blown out by like 30 points. So, yeah, this Washington Wizards team is just very bad. But that doesn't mean they're not good for fantasy, right? And that's where a lot of people mistake is that bad teams – unlike any other sport, bad teams are good for fantasy in basketball. And Washington is running at a super high pace this year. I believe they are number 8 right now in pace. So that is extremely good for fantasy. And in that sense, we have John Wall at, he's not even 10K yet. And this is a solid matchup as far as pace of play. But once again, as I mentioned last week, Orlando Magic has actually been solid versus the guard position since trading away Elfrid Payton last year. But John Wall is no regular guard. He is an all-star. So getting him at below 10K on FanDuel, I think that's a solid price for him. He can definitely pay off that price tag.
What about Beal and Dwight Howard in this matchup as well?
Oh, well, we already know that Nikola Vucevic is allergic to rebounds.
And defense.
Yeah,
He's
defense.
a
So,
single track dude. Vooch is like, yeah.
the Magic are not very good at rebounding the basketball, and Dwight Howard has made an entire career off of rebounding the basketball. So yeah, let me see, let me check his price real quick. 6.9K. He's been playing close to 35 minutes. I think the last two games. So for Dwight Howard, I think that's a price tag that he has so much upside in. And as far as Beal goes, yeah, I mean, absolutely, the guy's another all-star as well. At just 8.5K, he's one of those guys who has lots of volatility in his price tag, but he's a guy that in this matchup versus Evan Fournier, I think he can definitely hit at that price.
Yeah, and it just depends on what kind of contest you're in. If you're in a GPP, I like Beal's upside, that ceiling. Again, just looking at the pricing on Howard on DraftKings, I've got him at a mere 6K. So you almost want to
Oh,
price
wow.
enforce on that site with D12. Anything else on the Wizards side of the ball? Maybe Otto Porter.
I mean, he just had his boom game last game, so you know he's I mean, but the thing is though is that he usually gets hot in bunches. So he's still sitting at 6.6K. I don't know if this is him going on a stretch of five straight games with 40 plus fantasy points. Or if he just had that boom game and he's going right back to his sub 20. So, absolutely, I would have, if I had 150 lineups, I would have him in at least 5% of them. But not a core play at all, but a play that's definitely worth it at that 6.6K price tag.
Gotcha. Anything on the Orlando side of the ball? We talked about Vooch. What about Aaron Gordon?
Aaron Gordon, we love him in pace up games. So, he hasn't been playing great as of late, and his price tag just went back up. What did he do? Yeah, well, actually, yeah, he's had three solid games. I say not great because he's close to 8K, and he hasn't 5X that price tag in like five games. So that's hard to trust at times, but. Whenever you're getting Aaron Gordon in a pace-up game, these are the games that he can go out there and get 27 fantasy points in the first half, you know, and just explode, have one of those 50-point games. So,
Yeah, on DK he's 7,500, so probably for cash games over there, probably not the world's worst play. There'll be other plays in throughout the night, but probably not the worst play there. So, anything else in that matchup?
again, Terrence Ross. Still,
Oh, Terrence Ross. Oh.
Jonathan Isaac is still out, man. I'm just gonna keep on playing. They have not moved his salary, and he's still playing close to 30 minutes a game. It's not sexy, but it works, you know. And he's gonna get close to that 4 or 5X. So he's one of those floor plays that you can, if you just land there, you know what you're getting, and it can protect your lineup a little bit.
That's a deep
And
floor. That's a deep floor. Oh,
Yeah, I mean,
man.
it's not sexy, it's like I said, but it's one of those plays where you know what you're getting, and it's better than going after a guy who just absolutely has volatile minutes and a crazy floor. But Ross is playing 30 minutes, and if he gets hot, man, he can explode.
Fair enough. Fair enough. All right, let's move on. Let's go to a squad near and dear to your heart. Those Philadelphia 76ers are hosting the Charlotte Hornets. Nice over-under of 225 in this one. The Sixers are 5.5 point favorites. Why don't you walk us through some of the Sixers' plays in this matchup, Jeremy?
Well, first off, Ben Simmons is under 10K, and we know he has triple-double upside anytime he steps on the court. So anytime I'm available to get Ben Simmons at under 10K, I'm interested. That's like the mark for me, under 10K, because I know he can get that 16, 12, and 12 game and just like obliterate that 9.7K price tag. So in this matchup, I think he can definitely do that. But Charlotte has been playing great basketball of late, so this is going to be a competitive game. And in competitive games, Ben Simmons is playing 36 to 38 minutes, so I think it's a very solid spot for him.
Okay, and obviously the process, Mr. Embiid, you know, going up against Charlotte and their interior defense. I think Embiid is, let's look at his price real quick.
He's
He's
11
11-2,
on
though. That's the
FanDuel.
only issue on DraftKings. He's 11-2, so.
Yeah, I don't like that. That price is too high for me.
Yeah, it might be a little high.
And especially we'll get to more centers later on, but that price is too high for me on this slate.
Any other Sixers you like then?
Dario Saric, he's 5.2 and he's still getting 35 minutes a game. So, I mean, I'm just waiting for Wilson Chandler to be the Wilson Chandler who can explode for 30 points any given night. He looks like he's scared to shoot the ball right now. I mean, the first game he played 15 minutes, or no, he played 10 minutes and took one shot. Second game he played 15 minutes and took three shots. And just like, all right, it's hard to trust anything like that. So
is he still working his way back, you know, in the shape from the injury? I mean, you watch the Sixers more than I do.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure like how out of shape he is, but I mean, like, you're always working on your jump shot before you get in the game, you know? So like, I know he was a scorer with Denver. He was able to do that. Like, he's just not like even attempting to shoot right now, which is just, that's concerning for me.
It's something in the water. It's something in the Philly water, right? Because Fultz and then, Chandler.
Yeah.
Something
Ben Simmons
coaches.
Is scared to shoot.
Yeah, Ben Simmons. So.
Yeah, everybody's scared to shoot.
What about Charlotte over here? What do you like besides Kemba?
Just Kemba.
Yeah, yeah.
Kemba's at 8.6K. He just obliterated this Philly defense, was it 2 weeks ago, for 60 fantasy points. And it's no surprise. Like, Oladipo just did it 2 days ago. Our defense, since we play at such a high pace, like guards that are pure scorers like Kemba and Oladipo, like they get that advantage, especially being that the whole shot clock rule that changed from 24 to 14 seconds, like that's giving teams so many more possessions now. And even though the Sixers have a good defense, they just give up so much fantasy production because of the pace that they run at. And Kemba at 8.6K, I mean, he needs what? Not even 50 points to hit that 5X. And he's been getting that easily with upside. So, yeah, Kemba is a great play on this slate.
Gotcha. All right. Let's move on. We have my team, the Detroit Pistons, going to Atlanta, take on the Hawks. Pretty good total here. 224.5 as the over-under. The Pistons, 5-point favorites coming off their win the other night. For me, looking at the Pistons side of the ball, the Blake and Andre Drummond combo is pretty, pretty deadly. I think their floor is going to get you there in a lot of plays. And against Atlanta, is definitely a pace-up team. I think both Blake is 10K, so maybe not so much him on DK, but Drummond is 9,600, so his price has come up, but he's not gone all the way up to 10K. If I have to pick between the two, I might try to play both of the two, but if I had to pick between the two, I'm probably picking Drummond because I see no way Atlanta stops him from getting minimum 15 rebounds in this game. So, and he's pretty much a walking double-double these days. So, like those two, you can always maybe, you know, think about sprinkling in like a Reggie Jackson. You know, he's a streaky kind of player. He's averaging about 26 DraftKings points on the season so far. So, he's 5,800. So, I wouldn't try to force him in your lineups, but if he's one of your last roster spots, either utility or what have you, he's not a bad play on the Pistons side of the ball. Nobody else there for Detroit that I really see. On the Atlanta side of the ball, Jeremy, what are you thinking is the way to go with the Hawks?
Before that, I think you missed out on some more floor plays in Ish Smith. You got to be willing to take these risks, man. And I've seen the good in Ish Smith when he played with Philly. So,
but so the, my problem with Ish Smith, right? If I'm thinking about GPP upside, What is the upside? I know the game is all about value and GPs and extracting that value and finding it. So he is 4K on, excuse me, he's 4,400 on DK. But his ceiling to me is 22, 25 DraftKings points. And, you know, the 5X is fine, but that's not when you, that's not takedown mode. And we want to be in takedown mode. I don't necessarily, again, Ish Smith is a decent NBA backup point guard, but I want to go other places on my roster builds than Ish.
Well, it all depends on the roster construction. So if you land on a whole bunch of stars that you know has that extreme ceiling, like not like a one of the stars that can get you a 50 or something like that, like an Andre Drummond, who you know has an actual ceiling of 70 plus fantasy points, or a Ben Simmons, who actually has an actual ceiling of 60 plus, and you can get multiple ceilings that high, then you can have an Ish Smith in your lineup who 5X's, and that's all you need from him. So it all depends on construction. Like, usually when I throw plays out there that are like this, like, who have low floors, it's all based off of construction.
Gotcha. Anyone else on Detroit you think people should be watching for?
Bullock is back, right?
I don't know.
I think he played last game. He's back.
Yeah, he's not.
I mean, you can always take a shot at Stanley Johnson, but that's never fun.
Well, especially if Bullock is back. I mean, they're kind of mix and match with those guys.
Exactly,
lineup, so,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I like Stanley. So, yeah, I mean, if there's no Bullock, I like Stanley. But, you know, with Bullock back in the rotation, Stanley's minutes are going to get eaten up. I mean, he's probably, you know, 20, 22-minute cap on Stanley, so.
Yeah, but outside of that, I mean, it's just, I mean, Drummond is, he's going to 20-20 this game as well, so.
I feel like it's Barbara Walters. It's 20-20 with Drummond.
Yeah, he's going to definitely 20-20. I mean, he just missed it last game with 19 rebounds versus Orlando, but this is, I can almost guarantee that this is going to be a 20-20 game. So, on DraftKings, he's a no-brainer. Right. On FanDuel, it's a little bit closer. He's at 10.2, but outside of that, it's really nothing else on the Detroit side. On the Hawks side of the ball, I mean, do we really want to play any of these guys? Like, Trae Young, he's overpriced in my opinion. I don't know what he is on DraftKings, but on FanDuel, he's
7,300 on DraftKings.
Yeah, I'm not paying 7,300 for Trae Young on DraftKings. I'm not doing that.
Yeah, for me, I would just pay up at, you know, if you get a point,
I'll find
guard,
the money.
You'll find somebody else.
I'll find the money. I'll work my way up to John Wall or something like that.
Or Kemba, we just talked about in the last game.
Exactly, or Kemba. But outside of him, I mean, I can never, ever get Bazemore right. And he's, like, borderline on my do not playlist ever. So, like, I can never get him right. Like, I can go 40% on him one day, and he would have that 6-point fantasy game in 33 minutes of play. Like, I can't get him right. I can't play him. Outside of him, Bembry started last game ahead of Taurean Prince, which was interesting because his price was at 4.9K, and you knew he was going to get those extra minutes with that extra fourth quarter stint. And he performed. He had 28 fantasy points, I believe. But the thing is that Taurean Prince also played 30-plus minutes. Now, Taurean Prince's price has come down. Bembry's hasn't moved. And Taurean Prince actually played more minutes off the bench than he was doing as a starter. So I think that's interesting. So if you need a guy in the 6K range, Taurean Prince, we know he has the talent. You know he's going to be running the second unit now if Bembry starts again. So at 6.6K, I think that's a price tag that he can absolutely hit a ceiling in.
Yeah, and he's 5,600 on DK. So I don't mind the Taurean Prince play. Yep. He's a talented kid. So, all right, let's move on down to South Beach. The Heat are hosting the Pacers. No line on this game. I think the Goran Dragic news is what's holding up the line there. So We don't have a line and we don't have an over under, but we do have plays for you. If I'm looking at this game, Victor Oladipo is really emerging as a superstar in this league. He has abundance of fantasy goodness. I mean, he can do it all in terms of filling up the stat sheet. On DraftKings this season, he's averaging 44 points a game. He's only 900 or 9,000, excuse me, on DK. So I really like Oladipo. Sabonis is always a solid play, in a matchup against the Heat. Although the Heat have some interior pieces that might cause some problems for him. And again, maybe at his price point at 6,300. May have some better options at the power forward center spot. So Sabonis, you might put him in your player pool, but not necessarily a lock button there. And then I can't figure out Miles Turner. He has not really performed to me with commensurate with his ability. So I'm waiting to see if that emerges. I don't like his matchup in this game, especially if Whiteside goes on the other side. So Miles Turner is one to maybe watch, but maybe not use in this game. So for me, I think on the Pacers side, I'm at Sabonis and Oladipo. I know your boy Corey Joseph is in this matchup, but can't endorse that play. But are there any other Pacers I might have missed, though?
No, I'm not really interested in too much in this game. Pacers are, once again, second to last in pace of play this season. Miami is playing at a much higher pace than average. They're in 10th right now in terms of pace, and about middle of the road in terms of offensive and defensive efficiency. So it's nothing really to get excited about in this matchup. It's nothing I really like here.
So you're not chasing the white side after that big game last game?
No, I mean, the Pacers do a pretty good job at containing centers. It's just, I don't know if it's Miles Turner's defense or if it's scheme or if it's just the pace of play. I'm not sure. I haven't dug into it too much, but they just do a good job at containing centers. Whiteside, with that said, is a different kind of center. He doesn't require actual points to be fantasy relevant. He can get it done on the rebounds and blocks side of the ball. But it's, I mean, I'm not chasing an 82-point game. He'll probably score 40 in this matchup, which is close to 5x for him. But, I mean, he's not a core play at all.
Gotcha.
He's a 15 to 20% exposure guy to me on this slate.
Gotcha. And nothing with the Heat guards, especially if Dragic is out. So, no Tyler Johnson. Josh Richardson.
I keep saying that Josh Richardson, it's like he's not going to pay off his price tag, and then he just keeps doing it. So I don't even know what to think about him anymore, because without Dragic, he's been playing well. But Justice Winslow, he's 5.6K, and he basically runs point guard when Dragic isn't on the floor. And he's played 36, 34, and 30 minutes over the last three games. So those are pretty locked in minutes. He can get it done on all, in all areas of the game. So at 5.6K, I think he can pay that off. I'm just waiting for Tyreke Evans to get his minutes back, man.
I don't know what he did to Nate McMillan, but yeah, it's
He's been sitting 16 to 20, yeah. And like he's just not being the Tyreke Evans that we knew and loved over the last few years in fantasy. Yeah. So,
well, he's in a winning situation now in Indiana. So,
not to the Sixers.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so it's one of those things where maybe he's just got to figure some things out to be a part of that program there, you know? So,
yeah, that's probably what it is.
You know, they're just trying to say, hey, this is not Sacramento, buddy. This is Indy. We're out here trying to win some games. So,
yep.
All right. Let's move on to another game on the docket here. This is the Mile High City. The Denver Nuggets, who are playing really good basketball, are hosting the Brooklyn Nets, who are also playing pretty good basketball these days. Over-under, I think I've got at 216.5. Denver, 9.5-point favorites. think this kind of goes with your theme of people not respecting the Nets, and the Nets are a pretty good team. So at this point, what do you like on the Nets side of the ball, Jeremy?
I'll tell you what. I think Damari Carroll is supposed to be expected back this game. And if he does play, I'm pretty sure it'll be limited minutes. But if he does play, he makes the defense better. I constantly remember last year that everybody would attack the Brooklyn Nets defense because they were god-awful. And I did with everyone except small forwards because Damari Carroll. Like, he just made the defense better, and especially versus the small forwards. So if he plays, I mean, it's not like we were really firing up Juancho, Hernan Gomez. Like, we weren't running to do that in this matchup. But it's just something to be a little bit more aware of, that this matchup might not be as great as what we think it is for first glance.
Okay. What other Nets players? I mean, for me, I like LeVert and your boy Allen. Jared Allen, both those guys are, to me, solid plays in this one.
Yeah, and not only is the defense a little bit better for Brooklyn this year, but they're bottom five in pace this year, which is crazy. We never thought we'd say that with how bad that team has been over the last few years. So, yeah, the pace is down for the Nets. The defense is a little bit better. They're not great. They're not top of the league, but they're a little bit better. So, yeah, on the Denver side, it's not much to love. But Gary Harris is a little bit under 7K. He's at 6.8. And that's a price tag that I can finally, feel comfortable rostering.
Hey, you know me, I got to stay on brand. Gary Harris is a Spartan dog, so I gotta show love to the Spartan dog. Under 6K on DK. You know, with a 35-point, 40-point upside potentially, because he can get you those steals on the defensive side of the ball. So I don't mind Gary Harris as a player at all.
I don't mind if you want to dig a little bit, Trey Lyles.
He's been playing really well. Trey Lyles has been playing really well over the last, three or four games.
Yes, he has. And Spencer Dinwiddie, who he's been coming off of the bench and just playing 25 to 30 minutes. And he's been the primary scorer, and he's just been getting it done. And he's at 5.3K, and he has 5X that price tag four times over the last five games. So it's a price tag we know he can pay off, and there's a ceiling for more when you're going against Jamal Murray.
Yeah, Murray is allergic to defense. He's still looking for those 3 points from last game against Boston and try to get his 50. So, all right. Anything else on that in that matchup?
I mean, you can still take your shots at Jokic and Murray. They're not bad plays at all, but
that was a weird Jokic game yesterday where one shot.
Like, yeah, and it was in the end of the fourth quarter.
Yeah, last, I mean, something was going on with him in terms of his mood or something. So, I mean,
maybe it was Marc Gasol defense. I don't know.
No. I mean, Jokic is just too good a player. There was something going on there. I'm not sure. I just haven't. To me, he hasn't done what he was doing last season. I mean, it's still running the offense through him and Millsap, but I gotta wait on Jokic. There's something going on there. And Jared Allen is not the greatest defender, but he's all right. I mean, so. I would probably find other center spots, other center plays on Friday.
Gotcha.
All right, let's move on to an interesting matchup. The Boston Celtics will go out to Utah to take on the Jazz. At the over-under at 209, Utah 3-point favorites. Let's take the Utah side of the ball. Jeremy, what do you like on the Utah side of the ball?
Not much. This Boston team, despite getting halfway obliterated by the Phoenix Suns in the first half today, they've been pretty good on defense. They got the number one defensive efficiency in the league this year. And these teams are actually they're running at the same exact pace. So it's not a pace up nor pace down spot for neither of them. But I think these are the games where your guys like Donovan Mitchell show up. just because the defense is so hard to score on that you have to depend on those scorers to get the job done. Now it can go one or two ways. You can either have a 4-for-20 night, or you can have a closer to like 18-for-30 night if the shots are falling for Mitchell.
Well, does this change your? Just looking at the scores, they are now in overtime as we're taping this
yeah.
on Thursday against the Suns. So it's 100-all in overtime. So maybe
that's good because I have a lot of Kyrie Irving, so I need that.
So maybe maybe with the travel over to Utah, it's not a terrible flight from Phoenix to Salt Lake City, but playing this overtime game, we'll figure out when this ends. May be an issue for the Celts.
Yeah, I mean, they're already on a back-to-back, and it's not like this Utah team is a bad team at all. They're a very good, very good team. So that just makes me think even more that this game is just going to run a little bit slower than usual. I mean, if you're looking for anything, though, I think Jason Tatum has been playing awful tonight. I mean, he didn't record
awful
a fantasy point
in the first half. I thought
yeah,
he was
he
hurt.
Didn't have one
I
until the third
hurt.
Quarter.
I was like,
yeah.
What happened to Jason Tatum?
I checked the box score and I was so confused.
I was like, did somebody put him in a trunk and take him away? Like, where is this dude?
Yeah.
Like, what's going on?
I had no idea what was going on, but I mean, if you want to do narratives, he's probably going to come out like he still got it, so he's at 6.6K on FanDuel. That's a price tag where he has the talent to hit that, and he's averaging 30 fantasy points a game. And I mean, just erase this crappy performance, but he's going to want to get this performance out of his mind as quick as possible. Why not the next day?
That's a possibility. And he's got Jay Crowder defense and Joe Ingles potentially. So not too scared about that. All right. Anything else on either side of the ball for this matchup?
Derek Favors is still at a price tag that he can definitely hit on. He's at 5.3K, and that's a price tag that I've played him twice over the last two games, and he's got – I mean, they weren't cupcake matchups at all. He had Toronto and he had Dallas, and he's crushed that price tag, 38 and 34 fantasy points in 23 and 24 minutes over the last two games. And he hasn't gone under 22 fantasy points in the last six games. So it's fairly consistent. And he's got games versus Memphis there. He's got games versus Denver. He's got games versus Toronto. So this Boston defense, even though they're top in the league, he's had some good comps in those recent games. So at 5.3K, I can get behind that.
Well, on DraftKings, he's pretty much a lock for me at 4,600. You just said, like, you can do a lot of things if you plug him in your lineup at either power forward or center, and you can do a lot of things with your lineup if you put in Derek Favors. So he's a lock for me.
Yeah, that's a very nice price tag for him there.
All right, let's move to the final game in the capital of the great state of California. The Sacramento Kings, much improved Kings, are taking on the Minnesota dysfunctional Timberwolves squad. I don't have a line on this one. I think Vegas is trying to figure out what is going on with Jimmy Butler, as is the rest of the world. He plays one game, he sits another game. It's just a bizarre situation. The Timberwolves look joyless when they play basketball, so they are one of the weirdest teams going on right now. I'd love to be if they did like a behind the music type situation or all access of the Wolves right now, I would definitely tune in to watch that. But that being said, are there any Minnesota plays you like in this matchup?
You mean you're not considering the MVP, Derrick Rose?
He's got a resurgence, man. All of a sudden he had 7 threes, I think, last night. Like,
yeah, he set the Timberwolves franchise record for three-pointers made. And we already know Jeff Teague is out. And get this, they moved Terry Rozier, right? Terry Rozier was priced tonight at 4K, I believe. Did you see his price tag for tomorrow?
I did not see Rozier's price tag, but I will look it up.
It's on FanDuel, it's 6.2K. Wow. Now, what did they expect him to just blow up in this matchup versus the Suns? Because how does a third string point guard get a 2,200 price increase overnight? going against Utah.
Maybe they
I'm not
expect
sure.
Kyrie to sit. I mean, I don't know what. Maybe it's just a. This happens from time to time. Just an error in the algorithms. So.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but the fact that Terry Rozier leaped Derrick Rose is just crazy. That was the point that I was getting at.
Yeah.
Because Derrick Rose is only 6K still, and there's no Teague. Tyus Jones is not a threat to him at all. And if Butler sits, he's going against the team that has the second highest pace in the league, and they're still bottom, what, they're third worst defensive efficiency, that being the Sacramento Kings. So, like, this is a matchup where Derrick Rose can play 38 to 40 minutes again, and it's going to be a close game because the Minnesota Timberwolves have the worst defense in the league. So it's going to be a close game. And Derrick Rose at 6K, he's a 90% exposure play at that point.
Yeah, I think on FanDuel, you can go ahead and put him right in the your lineups. On DK, it's a little bit of a decision because he's 6,800. You know, I like the fact that he could play a couple of different positions, could put him at different positions, but I don't think he's as much of a lock as he is on FanDuel. So,
yeah, on FanDuel, it's a no-brainer. Yeah. Just, I mean, I don't care if Butler plays or not, just play Derrick Rose.
Exactly. What about Sacramento side of the ball? I mean, I got De'Aaron Fox, Cauley Stein in this matchup because Cat is allergic to defense. Buddy Hield. And you know a guy that I play a lot, and I'm not sure, maybe it's just because I saw him a lot last year, is Marvin Bagley III. Like, I end up rostering him more than I probably should. So I'm not, I mean, this is a matchup that if he gets the minutes, I think he can do some things in this matchup. Right now he's 4,500 on DK. So I actually kind of like that price, his production. He's last game he had about 25 minutes. He only came in at 18 DK points. But, I mean, he's 4,500, so, you know, he needs about 25-ish to, you know, to really to get the value you're looking for in GPPs. So, I don't know. He's a thought. Marvin Bagley's a thought. He's in the player pool.
Yeah. I have this rule with Bagley, the don't play him unless I know for sure this game is going to be a blowout. Because, I mean, he has destroyed NBA backups, but he looks like poop versus NBA starters. Like, doesn't do much with those minutes. Really? But if you can confirm that he's going to be playing against a bunch of backups, you can confirm that he's going to score 40-plus fantasy points. So
that's probably a fair analysis, yep.
Yeah, that's how I see it. I going back to the Wolves side though. Taj Gibson has played 37 and 32 minutes in LA over the last two games, and he's been very efficient in those minutes. And he's at the same price as Derek Favors on FanDuel at 5.3K. If you're going to be playing 37 minutes, you're absolutely in play. Yeah, Andrew Wiggins as well. You know, Thibs likes to run his guys into the ground. So, yeah, what were you going to say?
I was going to say Taj is 4,900 on DK. So definitely in play as well. Andrew Wiggins just hasn't lived up to all the hype for me. He's 6,200 on DK. Again, he's an okay play, and especially if Butler doesn't go. I like him more, but I'll throw him in the player pool, but put him on the shallow end of the pool. I'm not going to put him in with some of the bigger boys. So I think that wraps up all of the game-by-game breakdown for this slate. Seven game is kind of like a real nice number, not too little, not too many games. I don't think you had to really worry about in GPP's ownership too much in this one, so...
Oh, wait, uh-oh. before we go, it's Bielitsa, or however you say it.
Oh, Bielitsa.
Yeah, Bielitsa, there you go. Revenge game.
Oh, yes, against Minnesota. If you believe the narratives, go on Narrative Street, take a walk on
now
Narrative
Street. He's got his minutes cut over the last two games, or last three games. They've been going down every game, and I'm not sure why, because he started the season phenomenal. So if he's going to go and get those 30 minutes, he might have some incentive to, you know, go off for another 40 burger at 6,500.
Yeah, it's like seeing the old girlfriend, right? It's like you gotta show up, right? With the new squad, with the new piece. So,
yep.
So all right, it'll be
Just
at
want
least
some incentive there.
Exactly. All right. So that being said, we've gone through the game by game breakdown. Why don't we, for the listeners, do a real quick build on DraftKings?
All right, let's do it.
All right. So we talked about Derek Favors a lot over the last 10 minutes. We want to go ahead and put him in. What about that?
Yeah, let's put Favors in. I'll do you one better. Let's put Favors and let's put Taj Gibson in. Just to get some value opened up from the beginning. Okay. So we got a power forward and a forward spot locked up. The one play that I love on DraftKings that we can't get away from is Andre Drummond.
Yep, talked about him at the beginning of the pod. Let's get Mr. Drummond in 2020. Coming
guaranteeing
interview.
It.
That's a lock. That's a Jeremy lock. I think that's a Quaffle lock as well. So we were sitting at 6,100 per player. What do you like out of Kemba, Wall, Simmons? Why don't we go with Simmons so we get one of your guys in there?
Yeah, we can put Simmons in there because he has the dual position eligibility.
So
and if anything, we can move something around.
Okay. So we've got Simmons in there. And then, what about this guy? Justice Winslow. What is he looking like?
I don't like that price on DraftKings.
What is Justice at?
He's at 5.6K.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you don't like Winslow, what about?
Let's do Derrick Rose.
You wanna go Derrick Rose?
We can put him at shooting guard.
Okay. Let's get to Mr. Rose.
I still think 6.8K is still too cheap for him. It's getting closer to that 5X mark for him, but I especially if Butler sits, this play is I think it's you can't get away from it.
Yeah, I mean I think it's totally dependent. Well, he is production independent. I mean, even with Butler, he's been producing like he did last game, but mm-hmm. I like the play a little bit more if Butler goes. Do we have room for Kemba? We talked a lot about Kemba. We got room for Kemba on the squad. We're only at sitting at 4,700.
For Kemba.
Let's see. Kemba.
Let's see. Let's try to open up a little bit of salary.
Okay.
First. Let's see. All right. Let's put Bielitsa in.
Really? We gotta put Bielitsa
to run back.
In?
Let's see what it looks like. See what it looks like. Right. He's at 5.7K.
All right. Let's...
He's a guy we know he can produce with the minutes, and I think this matchup is incentive to give him some minutes.
Okay, so we have two spots left and 4,300. Where do you want to go?
And we got a guard in the utility.
Yeah.
What cheap guards are there? We got Ish Smith, yuck.
No, we talked about Ish. You're going to make me get upset. I don't want Ish.
Tyreek Evans. Oh, you got Michael Kidd Gilchrist homecoming again to Philly, which I played it almost every single time, and it doesn't work, and I'm not going to play it this time, and he's probably going to go for 35 fantasy points.
Potentially, but if you get beat with that, just
yeah, you know, I know.
Take that.
Just got to take it on the chin.
What about, so I talked about the Miami guards. What about like a Tyler Johnson in this one? He's only 4,300.
Well, we got to know Dragic is sitting. Well, actually, it doesn't really matter because... Oh, he is sitting? He's out already?
I believe he is out. Let me just look.
Because I thought that's
the thing.
Why
the line was a little screwy on it.
Yeah, I don't think he's out yet.
No, you're right. It's not been confirmed.
Yeah, FanDuel never confirms anything until like 3 hours before lock. Yeah, I mean, the thing about Tyler Johnson, though, is that he's not very, like, his minutes didn't really move with and without Dragic. It was the guys around him. It was the Justice Winslow and Wayne Ellington that really moved. It wasn't really him.
Okay.
I tell you, all right, we can probably go Otto Porter. He's at 52. And that's, I mean, that leaves us with 3,400 for a guard. That's not good. All right, we gotta get off of Ben Simmons.
Yeah, I was thinking, that was exactly what I was thinking. It's like Ben is
gotta get off
little too high. What about if we like a higher price guard? We talked about Kemba at 94, a little bit of savings. My guy Oladipo's at 9. John Wall's 91. Kyrie coming off the overtime in the big game is 76, but I don't know if I like him off the back to back.
Do you think this Pistons and Hawks game stays close?
You can never tell with the Pistons. They got off to such a good start, the 4-0 start, and then they kind of fell back to earth. But the Hawks are not a very good team. I don't think it stays close. I don't think it stays close.
Yeah, because I was gonna say I'd probably throw in Reggie Jackson to run him with Drummond. That opens up some salary. You know, he has that potential for 35.
Yeah, let's try that. Let's try that. He's 5,800, so that leaves us a guard spot and 7,400.
Yeah.
So we got
now we can get Donovan Mitchell. We can get De'Aaron Fox.
Fox going against Minnesota and their poor defense, or Mitchell against Boston coming off a back-to-back, although...
And their great defense.
Yeah, and their defense. Let's go Fox. Let's go De'Aaron Fox.
All right, we got 500 left over if we want to upgrade Otto Porter.
Okay.
We got Prince. We got Allen. I don't think there's no upgrade there. Winslow if Dragic is out, but outside of that, I think Porter is probably the play there.
Okay, and I like our favors Gibson mix. Can we do some with Bielitsa? That's gonna hurt me real quick.
Let's put Porter there, and then we can upgrade Bielitsa.
Okay. So we're gonna go with
now. Porter. Now tomorrow, when Bielitsa goes for 45 fantasy points, I want you to tweet out that I was right.
Oh, I would be more than happy to do that if you are correct. I would be more than happy to do that. So right, doing that little do move, you almost could get Jason Tatum in.
Yeah, we can get Dwight Howard though.
Okay.
And he's at 6K. I think he can 5X that price tag.
All right. So
yeah, he's at 33 minutes a game in a matchup where no one likes to rebound. So, yeah, I like that.
All right.
So we got Reggie Jackson, Derrick Rose, Otto Porter, Derek Favors, Andre Drummond, De'Aaron Fox, Taj Gibson, and Dwight Howard.
I like that as a lineup. And again, it's an early look podcast, guys. We're taping this on a Thursday night. So, as always with the NBA, you got to look for news right up until lock. You got to, stay close to your phone. You got to, get at us in Slack, look at the Slack chat, look at NBA.com, look at Twitter. Use all your resources available to you to kind of build a lineup. But this is just an early build, kind of working through the pricing and trying to figure out what may or may not fit and may or may not work. So take it at face value.
By the way, Kyrie Irving completely dominated the second half in overtime, and he ended with 65 fantasy points, and they got the win.
He's pretty good. He's pretty good. Even though he doesn't believe the earth is round, he's pretty good.
Yeah, that was a crazy game.
He's come back from that. He said he was just joking or whatever. So, I don't know. He was a little too out there on that stuff. So,
yeah.
So, anyway. All right, anything else, Jeremy?
Nah, you guys already know what to do. Patreon.com/lineuplogic. Go sign up for the Slack chat. Go sign up for my NBA projections and NFL projections and tools. Somebody gave me a shout out on the Slack chat on over the weekend for NFL because they said that the wide receiver cornerback chart was on fire this weekend. So there's things like that we have. And don't forget, we got the live stream on Friday night. So make sure you guys tune in for that as well.
Exactly. You heard the man. Just do what he says. Pretty simple. So, all right, for Jeremy and Squaffa, you guys enjoy this nice 7-game NBA slate, and we'll talk to you later. Take it easy. All right, very good.